Jash been here before. And then we have a new person, Sherry. And she is from the great state of, no, not Ohio, the great state of Indiana. So we are so glad. She, of course, been here for a long time. She's not just from there, but she's originally from there. She got in the van, started talking. I said, "You're not from here, are you?" "Been here 30 years," I said. "You're still not from here, though, are you?" "Nope, Indiana." So we're glad to have Sherry with us this morning. Welcome. Glad to have you. As you can see by my title this morning, title is, "But Then I Showed Up." Anybody guess who the I is? Anybody want to guess? Right. But I showed up. You know, we have situations in our lives that we battle, that we're looking for direction, we're looking for answers, and it seems hopeless, it seems helpless, but then when God shows up, everything changes. And that's all we need, is to allow God to show up in our situations. And we're going to be talking about, we've got several scriptures, and as you can see, and all of those are about the miracles of Jesus. All of them are miracles of Jesus. And there's many, many more. I just picked five of the miracles to really talk about that when Jesus shows up, how everything changes. Don't give up because God's in it. And you may not see God move right now. Don't mean God's not moving. You may not see the answer right now. Doesn't mean the answer is not on the way. It's just not time for the answer to get to where you're at. And as we get older and grow in life, I think we learn more and more of that. How that things don't always happen on our timetable or on our schedule, but they do happen on God's timetable, and that's what's important. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And this is one of the miracles of Jesus. And all these miracles are beautiful, and the stories are very encouraging for us today. And, you know, for those of us or those people that say, you know, God doesn't work that way anymore, and God, this was, you know, for a certain time period and all this, then I don't know what God you're serving, because I know how my God has provided for me. And I know how God can do a miracle in my life. And I know that God's not changed, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But society has changed, expectations have changed, the world has changed, the church has changed. But God has not changed. God is still faithful in being God. He is still on the throne. Do you realize that the same risen king that came out of the tomb the third day and walked the earth for those 40 or 50 days, that same king who walked the earth and was ascended back into the kingdom is the same risen king that lives inside of me and you. The same one has the same power, has the same anointing, has the same authority. That same king that came out the third day that conquered death, hell, and the grave lives inside of us right now. So that tells me a lot of things. That you know what? I'm not alone. I don't fight alone. I don't have to search alone. But I have someone in me helping me, fighting with me, and fighting for me. And he does care. So understand that we serve the same God. Luke 5, 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They'd been fishing all night and they were cleaning up. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw." Now, this is Jesus' words here. It's not in red on there, but it's in red in your Bible, or it should be. This is Jesus speaking. "Launch not into the deep, but let down your nets for a draw." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they both began to sink. Now think about this. We got some fishermen here. Any fishermen in here? One, two. Don't you fish too? Y'all fish. You like your fishing. You're out there all night long fishing. You ain't got a bite. You ain't got nothing. Then somebody walks up to you and says, "Let down your nets." But Master, we've toiled all night. No offense, you're a great prophet. You're a rabbi. You're all this stuff maybe they say, but you're not really a fisherman. So leave the fishing to us. Because we've been out there all night. But you know what? Because you said it, I'm going to do it. And they let down their nets. And what wasn't there before was now there. Because God is the creator. And I'm going to talk about that just a minute. We think about God creating the sun, moon, stars, which he did. And that was, you know, a few years ago. And it's still there. But God's still the creator.
See, God hasn't stopped creating. God is still the source of all things. And I truly believe, I've taught this particular story many times, and I truly believe that those fish weren't there before. I don't think they were avoiding the worms. Oh, there's a fisherman. Ooh, come on, buddy, let's swim over here. I don't think they were there. I don't think they were there at all. But when the word of God was spoken, what wasn't there became there because he showed up. When God shows up, everything changes. So in your life, how does this apply to us? You may seem empty-handed. You may be fishing for something and nothing's happening. Just wait, because when God shows up, the nests that look empty are going to burst forth full of the blessing and favor and provision of Almighty God. And it won't be on your timetable. It'll be at the most unexpected time of your life that someone will walk by. Some seed will be planted. Some favor will be poured upon you. In a moment of time, you'll know that God did it. Because when God shows up, everything changes. Go to the next miracle. This is found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Matthew 8, 23. Glory. I am so glad God has showed up in my life over and over and over again. You know, we all have things we can thank God for, how he protected us. You know, Melanie, when she was carrying Christian, had a terrible wreck here in Statesville back in 1994. Had a terrible wreck, T-boned a van going 45 miles an hour, crushed my Firebird from the nose all the way to the windshield. And that's all I'm concerned about, really. I do miss that car. But anyway, when you start going through your midlife crisis, you kind of want something like that back, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, they called me, you know, those people called me, and I rushed out there, and she was, you know, how far along were you at that point? You remember? So you're about halfway along, I'm sure. And here she is carrying Christian. She's 3-4 months along, I guess. And she walked away from that without a scratch, without a bruise, without anything. And that car was just a crushed can. And how I know that God showed up and God protected her and God was on her. My son had a wreck in Nebraska, you heard me say, about 3 weeks ago out in that blizzard. Transfer truck hit him in the back on the interstate out there. Walked away. Not a scratch, not an issue, just a crushed car. I know when God shows up, I know when his hand shows up, that his hand can do what all of our hands together can never do. One word from God can speak way more than all the words of humanity. One swipe of God's hand does more than any of our actions can ever provide, because God is the source. I want to make this clear. Your job is not your source. God is your source. God is your source for all things. It's not about how much overtime you get. It's about who you serve. It's not about who your boss is, it's about who you serve. And when you serve God and know that all blessings come from him, then you can take great security in knowing, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Because if God is for me, church, if God goes before me, who could ever be against me? Nobody can. And the hand of God is greater than the will of the devil against your life. Always remember that. For what the devil tends to bring harm, God steps in and says, no, not that one. No harm there. No damage there. No pain there. That's mine. And I'm going to protect that. Second miracle here is the miracle of the calm of the storm. Verse 23, Matthew 8 says, when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And beheld, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves. But he, talking about Jesus, was asleep. That'd be Melanie. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He said to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? You know what happened? God showed up. God showed up, and he says, you know what? I'm over the elements because I created them. And the wind, every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess. Every wave that crashes bows at the authority of the Creator who made it. Do you understand that? Every time the wind blows, the wind has to listen to the voice that created it. God created it, and everything must bow. So he's got authority over everything. Now think about this. If God can cause fish to appear where they weren't before, which means he's over the animal world, And we've talked about that before. It fascinates me, the hibernation of animals. It fascinates me how the little black snakes know when to go into hibernation, the bears. Isn't that amazing how they know that? They don't get a text, time to hibernate. I mean, they don't get that. How do they know when to go in and hibernate? Because the voice of God is over them. And the voice of God leads them. And if the voice of God is over the animal world, now we see God is over the elements of the weather, the seas and the wind, the thunder and the storms. He's over all of that. When he shows up, he brings calm. How do we associate this story with our lives today? I mean, I could have used that, as you know, on my cruise, but I didn't. But other than that, how can we associate it? We can associate it in our everyday life. When there's chaos around you and there's no peace, you know why there's so the majority of the reason people commit suicide, there's no peace. They can't find peace. I can't find peace in my job. I can't find peace in my boyfriend, my husband, my wife. I can't find peace in nothing. I can't find peace, and I'm so rattled, and I need rest. And their mind begins to run away with all this stuff, and they get to a place of hopelessness. But God, when he shows up, guess what he's got in his back pocket? Peace. And he can pour that peace upon you. And in the middle of your storm, when everything's around, like I've said many times, God may not always calm the storm you're going through, but he can certainly calm you while you're in the storm. And that peace can come upon you, and all of a sudden you know God's in this. What am I worried about? You know, Ashley, they had a tornado. They had a tornado issue last week around here, the warning. And North Iredell Middle actually had a real tornado. It wasn't a drill. It was a, I don't know what you call it, not a drill, but the real deal. And they got all the kids out in the hallway and had to do their little stance, you know, with the head between the knees and all that stuff. And they were out there about 30 minutes in the hallway. And Ashley said that there were girls crying. A lot of people, a lot of people were just crying. They were so scared. And I said, I wasn't worried. I told my friends, we got Jesus. I ain't worried. And I said a little prayer and I was fine. I'm like, wow, how simple that is, right? I mean, think about this. Ashley had so much confidence that, you know what, I'm God's. I'm not going to worry about this. He controls everything. He's over everything. He's watching me. He's watching me. And that's what's hard for us to wrap our minds around, that God is watchful over his creation all over the world. And that's hard to believe, that as every church is going right now in America and across the world, that God is watching every single person and is aware of their risings and their sitting downs. They're going out and they're coming in. God is aware of all of that. And God was aware that my Ashley was right there in that hallway and says, you know what? I can't. That's not going to hurt that child. She's mine. She's mine. What if we, you know, Jesus said, come to me as a child, right? I mean, Tay believes you can do, right now he believes you're Superman. You're Wonder Woman. That'd be a good couple, actually. That's some pretty kids. Superman and Wonder Woman. You can do anything. Mama, and what you tell them, they believe. I mean, if TJ really told Tay that North Carolina is way better than Duke, Tay would believe that. So you have to make, they just believe anything you say. They're like sponges. And that's why Jesus says, come to me as a child. Come to me with such humility and belief that I can do anything. Because man, when you're a little boy or a little girl, mama and daddy, they're everything. They're everything. They make everything better, make everything go away. They calm you down. Even when you're grown, they can do that. They can give you a sense of peace and calm. Because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, your mamas are special, right? Melanie can get rid of me. Mama won't ever get rid of me. Melanie can walk away and say, I'm done. Mama wouldn't be done. I don't think so. See, wives are like cats and mamas are like dogs. Cats are finicky. They can be done with you. But, man, you can beat a dog to death, right? And it still wags its little tail when he sees you. You can be mean to it. It can do that little, I'm sorry, and then come right back to you, and it's all happy. You know, it just loves you. That's how mamas are. You can abuse mamas. They're going to still love you. They're going to be hurt and disappointed and broken, but they're going to love you. You abuse a wife, she's going to get rid of you and take half what you got. Still taking half what I got, mama will give me half of what she's got. Hallelujah. Thank God for mamas. Come as a child. Come as a child. If we could have that same, but you know what happens? Life happens. We start blaming God for everything in our lives. We start blaming, well, God didn't fix this. God didn't fix this. God didn't fix this. Man, God is fixing more than you realize. And God knows best, as the old saying, how your parents know best. God knows best. And he's looking out for you whether you realize that or not. So if you need peace today, he's the one to give it to you. He can speak that peace into your life where nobody else can and give you what you need because he shows up. Let's go to the next miracle. This is found in Luke 7. Go back to Luke 7 and verse 11. Luke 7, 11. 7, 11. Just caught that. That's a new joke, Margie. Do you know 7-Elevens in the Bible? More than once. I got another slogan. I just thought of it. 7-Eleven will get you to heaven. All right. Luke 7-11. It came to pass the day after that he went to a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and much people. And when they came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man. Notice this. He was physically dead. Carried out the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, or the coffin. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto you, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Hallelujah. This man was dead on his way to burial. Can you imagine? We're on the way to the cemetery on our driveway. Somebody walks up and says, "Rise." And they come back to life. What was dead was now alive because I showed up, Jesus says. Because I showed up, I changed the dynamics of what was. I changed the circumstances of what was, and now it's something completely different. Now, I think part of the reason we maybe don't see the things in our lives the way we like to see them spiritually is because we have substituted things around us for what's in us. We substitute the things and we trust things around us more than we trust who lives in us. And so we depend on other things first. I say many times as Christians, sometimes it's going to sound sad, but it really is true. If you'll do self-examination today, you can't deny this is the truth. As Christians, many of us really going to God first is a lot of times not really our first plan. Because when something comes, the first thing, oh, what am I going to do? Ooh, I need to call so-and-so. I need to figure this out. I need to do this. Oh, gosh, I need to try to do this and do this. And go to God first. Let God show up and say, "God, what do I need to do?" Seek him first. Does the Bible say that? Seek him first. Seek the kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. Seek God first. Now, I understand God, not a magic genie. Some people believe that. There's been a lot of teaching through the religious years of the name it, claim it, kind of, you know, I want a gold Cadillac and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Look, God's not a magic genie. God knows what we need, and according to his will, he gives us that. But sometimes his will and our will are two different things, and he knows that. And if we truly pray a prayer, Lord, like for my children, I pray this. And for you that haven't heard, I announced it Wednesday night, my daughter Christian did get accepted to the Disney program, and she is so excited. So she'll be leaving for Florida in August and being in Florida for 6 months, at least 6 months. And she re-ups, she can get 6 more months. We'll see how that works out. I got a feeling she'll re-up. But anyway, she's got 6 months in Florida. Well, you know what? I've been praying for Christian on this because it's a big move. And God knows what's in Florida waiting on her, and God knows her path. And so I've been praying, Lord, it's Christian's desire that she gets this. And I know Christian's been praying the same thing. But Lord, I want your will to be done in her life for this. And if it's right for her, open that door, let her experience that and enjoy that. But there's something waiting on her that's going to derail her, put her in danger, and then close that door. Well, she got accepted. So you know what? I trust God. I'm not going to second guess it. I'm not going to be, "Oh, well, what if it's, do you think?" I prayed about it, and God took care of it. So I'm not going to second guess it. If we could learn to trust God and pray that way, because sometimes our will is not the best will that God has for our lives. And that's hard to swallow. We pray for that job we want. We don't get it. Well, no, I'm going to quit praying. God didn't bless me. Maybe God was keeping you from a bad decision. Maybe God knew you didn't belong there. You didn't fit there. And he was just protecting you from a lot of damage down the road. I say this so many times. So many times our unanswered prayers that we pray are an answered prayer that God gives. If we could trust that. Because God does know what we need. He knows what's best for our lives. If we'll just trust him with that. Go to the next verse. Is that the last one on that chat? Yeah. So there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us. And I love this part. And God hath visited his people. He showed up. Man, when God shows up at a party, he's the life of the party. You know, when you were young, or maybe you're still doing it now, and if you are, you know, you need to grow up and get out of that. But if you're still a party person, there's always that one person you knew is the life of the party. Oh, man, when so-and-so gets here, boys, things will crank up, man. When so-and-so gets here, they're the life of the party. You know, my Aunt Eunice, my dad's sister, passed away several years ago, 5, 6 years ago, I guess now. And there's nine kids. And by far, she was the loudest. By far, she was the most opinionated. But you know what? That's the one you wanted to hear. Because you didn't know what's going to come out of her mouth next. She was the life. She would tell you like it was. She didn't hold nothing back. I mean, she'd be in the middle of a store and say what was on her mind. She didn't care. She would just say it. And I love that. Melanie had a grandma like that. Would just say stuff. Didn't care. She wasn't trying to be PC. Y'all know what that means, right? Politically correct, yeah. Melanie's grandma would just say it like it was. Face value. Didn't care. Would tell somebody off in a heartbeat. I mean, her grandma was the Madea of her generation. She would crash into a Burger King and get that cashier by the throat, just like Madea. So, I mean, she just that was like it was. I love that about people. And you know, that's what God really wants from us is honesty. He already knows us. We can't hide nothing from God. I mean, we sit here, we pray this religious, formal, honorable prayer. O Lord, thou God of the universe, hallowed be thy name. I wish thy kingdom shall come as I am a wretched man and in need of you, Lord. And I pray that thus spirit shall enter thus body and thus change all thus things. God's probably saying, I need help. Oh, okay, I understand that. I mean, just be honest. Just talk from your heart because God already sees your heart. And we surely can't hide our thoughts, though we want to sometimes. And we can't hide our actions, which we think if nobody else sees it, God doesn't. But he does, and that really gets on your mind, right, and really gets scary. Man, God saw it. Oh, my God, I can't. We can't escape it anyway. So let's be honest with God, and let's say, Lord, I need you to show up in my life and give me what I need. Because I know I'm lacking. And I know I'm wrong in many areas. But God, if you will show up, you will help me and provide for me everything that I need in my life to get me through. Each one of us in here, we have in here from the ages of the youngest in here is probably, how old are you? How old are you? 23. You're 17. Leanne, 17. Anybody younger than 17? So we got 17 in here up to about, you know, 80 plus. I'll be kind. That's a big age gap in here. 17 to 80 plus. And you know what? Leanna's problems, she has battles. She has storms inside of her. And my grandma, one of the 80 plus, also has storms and has battles. And you know what? Both these generations need God to show up in their lives for whatever they're battling and whatever they're going through. As Leanna is growing into an adult to start her journey, Grandma has lived a lot of her journey already and is a different season of her life. Leanna's in spring. Grandma's in early winter. Von Seal's in late winter. I'm playing Von Seal. I just play it. So we have different seasons of our lives. And God is in all of them. I love that. You know, I remember as a teenager, of course, me and Bill were great friends, and we would just ride to school together and, you know, hung out, and we would have a lot of talks. And I'm so thankful. You know, you've heard me talk about Bill through the years at this church. And God sent Bill to me when I was 14 years old. Sent him from, I never thought God would give me a Yankee as a best friend, but he sure did. And that's okay. God knows best. And, But God sent him down at 14 to be a part of my life. And we had many years, through our teenage years, our high school years, that I was so thankful I had him in my life. Someone to talk to, someone to share the spiritual, you know, sameness with. And, you know, God showed up in my life at 14. I don't know. I think Bill was such an influence in my life, a grounding force in my life, that without God sending him, my life might have went a different direction. It could have went a little different, but God gave me a grounding force. God showed up as I talked to this shy kid on the steps of the cafeteria in middle school. What's your name? Where are you from? Oh, you're a Christian? Wow. You're Pentecostal? Hallelujah. I can't find no Pentecostal around here. Glory to God. I'm like, wow. And we just began to connect and began to talk. And it's like, man, God showed up. And I needed that in my life. And whatever season you're in, God will show up. And when he shows up, your situation can change. God showed up for Joe Brown on Lake Norman to heal his body of ulcers. Showed up. Middle of Lake Norman, on his boat, God showed up and did surgery right there in the middle of the lake. God can show up at any moment if we don't fail to forget that he is still a creator. We think, well, if it's not in the Bible, God can't do it. God still creates. They're still finding new species of animals that are still, every day, they're finding a new species of animals that didn't know yesterday. You know why? God's still a creator. There are new stars being formed, new things in space being formed. God is still a creator. And inside of you, there's a new day being born, new favor being poured, new blessings coming your way because God is a creator. And because the devil shuts the door in your face and says, you'll never have this, all it takes is a movement of God to walk by your way, his shadow to fall upon you, and everything can change in a moment. I've seen that blessing of God just in a moment come out of nowhere to pour into my life. And I knew that it was God. And God doesn't want any man getting glory for his blessing. Go to the next miverkle. This is found in verse 17. That's fine. Matthew 9:27. We've seen God calm the storm and be with the weather. We've seen God tell the fish to bite. We've seen God raise a dead man back to life. Now we read here in 9:27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." I want to make an ironic point here. Isn't it ironic that two blind men recognized Jesus? And the world around him couldn't recognize who he was. Two blind men recognized him. "Thou Son of David." You know why? Because they were seeing him from here, not from here. Revelation had been revealed that this man had what they needed. If we would learn God has what we need, God has what we need. Other countries, I've got some friends, Josh Bunton is one of them, who does a lot of traveling around the world. Got another preacher friend of mine who lives in Georgia that's in Thailand right now. And they go to these other countries to preach the gospel. And those folks are so hungry to receive. Because for many of these people, church, there's no other option. In America, we have doctors, we have medication, we have counselors, we have lawyers, we have all these resources that other countries don't have to try to get our blessing or get our healing or get our thing we need. These people in other countries, some of them will walk for miles. I'm not exaggerating. They'll walk for miles to get to these revivals or these gatherings to hear the good news that Jesus can meet their needs. Because many are dying of sickness. They're starving of food. They have no hope. They have no help. And so that all they have is God. If we could get back to the point that all we really have is God, because that's all we really have is God, then things would change. Because that is all we have is God. I realize every blessing of this ministry for 13 years is by the hand of God and only by the hand of God. I stand amazed and I stand in awe year after year of what God is doing. I still stand at that window every Sunday morning and have butterflies on Sunday morning in expectation of God's moving on Sunday morning. After 13 years, I still get that. Because I know it's all the hand of God and the mercy of God that does all that he does. I've only got the wife I have because God sent that wife to me. That's the only reason. It wasn't that I was that hot or that good. It was because God was that good and sent me the right person in my life at the right time. All of my blessings, The home I was raised in, my mom and my dad, my family, all of that is the hand of God. And I can take no credit for that. And I realize if the hand of God was removed from that, then everything would be changed. It would be different. And I'm thankful that God saw fit just to be my God and to call my name in 1980. Call me to the front of that tent where I gave my life to him and says, "Yes, Lord, I want you in my heart." Beautiful experience. It's a beautiful thing for every person that calls upon the name of the Lord that becomes his child. There's nothing greater than that. There was nothing more beautiful than seeing my three children give their heart to the Lord. Nothing more beautiful than seeing Ashley on a swing set in the back of this church. It was just me, her, and Melanie over here to church one day. She's out there swinging, and she's singing a song. She comes running inside the church and says, "I was singing a song," and says, I heard a voice tell me, "I want to save you. I want to save you." And me and Melanie and Ashley come into sanctuary. Us three here, it's during a week one day. And we come into sanctuary and we join hands with little Ashley and we prayed with her. Tears are coming down her face as she is surrendering her life to Jesus. There was no great revival happening. There was no drum beating or organ playing. She was on a swing set and God called her name. That's the God we serve. That at a moment, God showed up. God showed up for her on that swing set. God showed up for Jamie and Christian at a fire department with no altar, but just a flat floor and a couple of speakers. But God showed up. God showed up in my life in the middle of a field under a canvas tent. God showed up. And since then, he showed up many more times in my life. God showed up that day in 1991 when that cashier walked in the food line on 21 and became the next new cashier that James Lewis would date. And the last cashier James Lewis would date. I told people it's the last thing I bagged. And I'm so thankful that God sent her at the right time in my life. The perfect time. Everything my life has been is because of God. It's because God showed up. And I'm thankful that he could still show up today. And that God is still doing miracles. God can still, all the miracles we're reading today, God can still do. He can still heal the blind eyes. He can still raise the dead. He can still calm the seas. He can do whatever he wants to do. Because God's not changed. Go to the next verse, Brandon. When he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him and said, "Jesus, believe you that I am able." Jesus said to them, "Believe you that I am able to do this." They said unto him, "Yes, Lord. You're able to heal us. I know you are." Then touched he their eyes, saying, and I want you to leave it on this verse for a minute, Brandon. "According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, sometimes I think we've gotten away. This might be a little out of the box for some of you. But when it comes to faith, we've kind of been taught the more faith you have, the more miracles you see. And we tend to equate the miraculous things of God with how elevated our personal faith is. But he's making a different point right here. He's not talking about the quality of our faith. He was talking about what their faith was in. Now think about this. Their faith was in the one who could do it. Period. Their faith was in the presence of the one they stood before, the Son of David. My faith in you. You can do it, Lord. I think we get disappointed sometimes because we let people beat us down. I've heard this through church years. I've heard this. If they had more faith, they wouldn't have died. That's a dangerous statement to make. You know what? You know really what it is? If we think, honestly, that we can have so much faith that we're elevated above someone else, or that, you know, that the faith we have can do things differently, aren't we sort of reverting back to an act of works in a way? A little bit of works that, well, if I can get my faith better, then I can see this happen. Our faith needs to be in who he is, period. God, you can do it. I ain't got to jump hoops. I've not got to fast 42 days and speak in tongues for 30 nights to have more faith. God, I believe in you. You are who you said you are. You're God. And that's good enough for me. You are God. When I gave you my heart in 1980, you became my God from that moment to the time I see you face to face. And everything I have is in you. All the faith I have is in you. God, I believe in you and what you can do. It's not about how much faith I have. It's about who I believe in. I believe in you, Lord. That's why I believe in you. And so that's what he's saying. According to your faith, you're facing me. So guess what? Because you're facing me, something's going to happen. I'm going to show up. Next verse. Their eyes were opened. And their eyes were opened after he prayed for them. These two blind men, it doesn't say, but more likely they were blind from birth. All of a sudden their eyes were opened. Do not let the devil put those lies in your ears. Well, you're not seeing God move because you just got to believe better, do this, do this, do this. It all goes back. If we start doing that, we go back into that works mentality. If I jump all these hoops, God's going to somehow hear me more than he's going to hear TJ. You know, no, God, I believe you. That's all I need to do. God, I trust in you, and you do all the work. God, you bring all the blessings. You do all the favor. You die on the cross. You rose from the dead. It is a gift of God. Lest any man boast, it's not of works, God. It is you. By grace I am saved. By grace I am kept. By grace you are my Lord. I don't deserve anything, but you give me everything. I don't deserve anything you give me, but by your grace you pour upon me all that you have. And God, I'm thankful for that. And the same God that healed these blind man eyes can do a work in your life, whatever that is, if we just believe in the one that can do it. The one that can do it is Jesus. One more. I think we got one more miracle here in John. Oh, yeah. Go on the next verse. John chapter 5. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Go back. Go back to verse 32, Brandon. There was no little miracle to come right behind that one. Verse 32, if you can get to it there. Right there. They went out and beheld, they brought to him a dumb man. This, of course, is a person that couldn't speak, a mute, possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying it was never so seen in Israel. You know why it wasn't seen? Because he hadn't showed up yet. But when he showed up, think about this. This tongue that was bound and could not talk at one word of God was loosed because God showed up. God has calmed a storm. God has healed a blind man. God has raised a man from the dead. God has healed a man that couldn't speak. All because he showed up. And we know about Lazarus. They sent news to him. I mean, think how y'all would treat me. Tammy Souls called me. Man, Ken's in the hospital down at Forsyth, James. And man, he's dying. Doctor gave him 3 hours. Okay, I'll get there when I can. Has he gave his offering this week? Okay. Just to make sure y'all still awake. I'll be down when I can. So I get busy. All of a sudden I get down there the next day afternoon. A day and a half later I get down there. And I walk in the room. He's gone. I told you he was dying. Why didn't you come then? He was gone. Well, don't worry. He ain't really gone. He's just sleeping. Sure, yeah, forever. No, he ain't sleeping. Kenneth, rise and come forth. God showed up, and what was dead for 4 days couldn't stay dead when God showed up. It couldn't stay. See, when God shows up, the situation can't stay the same. It's impossible. When the hand of God is on your life or passes your way, it can't stay the same. God changes it. Jesus had a purpose in raising Lazarus. I mean, think about this. Tammy's got an unsaved family member in the room. Ken is dead. I'm sorry. He's laying there. What's going to be more impactful? He recovers from being sick, or her sister sees him come from the dead. He's laying there, you know. Hey, Tammy, got some deer jerky? Oh, my God. The sister's like, oh, my God, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And how did it come? From the only one that can give it, the miracle worker, him, the Lord himself. He did it for a purpose, to show those around him who he was. Martha says, yeah, I believe in the resurrection, but that's on down the road. No. You're looking at a time or a certain day. Don't you understand? I'm the resurrection, and I am the life, and all that call upon me shall never perish, never die. but have everlasting life. I've said it this way before, and I think it's a great way to say this. The day you give your life to Jesus, you become eternal. You become eternal. You become unperishable. There's no date on you of expiration. The day you give your heart to Jesus and your life is His, you become an eternal, unperishable, date don't run out, you're not going to rot away, you become an eternal creation in Him from that day on. You have experienced the resurrection and life that lives in you. That's going to keep you going until we see Him face to face. So He's healed all these people. One more miracle we'll read in John 5. John 5, chapter 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. There were blind people, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. You know, if you go to the beach in the summertime, you'll see surfers out there way out in the deep on surfboards. You'll see them out there on kind of their, you know, on their belly, kind of wading out there in that deep water, and they keep looking back, and they're looking back, and you know what they're waiting on? The moving of the water. They're waiting on the right wave to come so they can then get off their belly, step up on their board, and ride out that wave. They're waiting on the right movement of the water for the right wave to carry them in. If we would wait on God to show up, just wait on God to show up. Don't try to kick our own doors down. Don't try to press our own way in. Just say, God, I'm waiting on You to show up and direct my steps, clear out my path, ordain my way. I'm waiting on You because my way, I don't know about y'all, but I know some of your lives as your pastor, and y'all ain't doing such a good job. And I'm not either. So I thank God I've got Him. And if I would wait on God, I would save myself a lot of heartache. If I'd wait on God, I'd have a lot more peace in my own life. If I wait on God, I'd have a lot more joy in my own life. But we as human beings, we're our worst enemies because we try to press things that aren't there. We try to nail things that don't need to be nailed. We try to go places where God doesn't really want us to go, and it don't work out. And sometimes our heart is really right. Our intent is good, but our mission has failed because we didn't wait on God. I want to wait on God. So we're waiting on the moving of the water. An angel would go down at a certain season in the pool and trouble the water. Trouble the water. And whoever was first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. So imagine all these people that are sick and afflicted laying around this body of water, this little pool area, and they're waiting on this movement of God. And when the movement came, the first one that would get in would be the one to be healed. Let's see what happens here. A certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. For 38 years he had this physical affliction. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew he had been there a long time in that case. And he saith unto them, wilt thou be made whole? You know, if we would listen, we would hear God say that to us now. Will you be made whole? Do you want peace this morning? Do you want direction? Do you want my comfort? Do you need my strength? Do you need my blessing? Do you need a healing? Whatever it is you need, will you be made whole? Because He wants to heal us. I'm talking about of all of our infirmities, all of our stuff inside, outside. God wants to heal us. And I can just hear His voice saying that. Will you be made whole? It reminds me of Revelations where He says, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, any man that opens up, I'll come in and sit with him. That's what He wants for us. God is not keeping you out of the kingdom. God is not pushing you away. God is not a God that doesn't want to let. God desires an intimate relationship with each of us. So He said, we be made whole. And the man said, go to the next verse, Brandon. The man answered and said, sir, I have no man that when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth before me. If you do some studying, most scholars agree this man probably was paralyzed with the issue he had. And so he couldn't move on his own. So he had to get somebody to help him to get in the water. But by the time he got somebody to help him, someone else done got there before him. He said, I can't get there. But you know, God had a plan for this man. This was this man's day. Do you realize God's got a day for us? Each of us have a day that God moves on our behalf. Many days that God moves on our behalf just for us. Jesus says, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately, the man was made whole, took up his bed, and he walked. God showed up. Don't discount the power of God in your life. Church, we can't use God as a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night crutch or just as a institution or as a public gathering. We got to use God as who He is. He's everything. When you're in bed at night and you can't sleep, call upon the name of the Lord and He will show up and give you rest. There have been many nights I've said that. Lord, I prayed, God, I need rest tonight. I need good rest. Please help me rest. Turn off my mind. Turn off all my thoughts and just give me rest. And when I pray that, He always does. He gives me rest. Because He shows up, everything changes. Whatever you need in your life, God's got it. He is the source for everything. He's the source for all things. Whatever you're battling, there's nothing God doesn't know you're battling. Inside this sanctuary right now, there are many of you that you have hurts inside of you that you've never got released from. You've got hurts, you've got pain from the past that you've not really been set free from. Some of you in here are fighting addiction, either alcohol or drug or other substances that hold you bondage and that hold you bound in your lives. Some of you are fighting problems of believing, really believing that God loves me, that God would work for me and help me, that God would do anything for me. Some of you are fighting shame and guilt to such a point that it even bothers you to be in the house of God because you feel so guilty. And that shouldn't be. Oh, God, this is a place for healing, a place for redemption, a place for forgiveness, a place for being made whole. When God shows up, everything changes. And God is the only one that can change this right here, the heart. Because life can be very challenging and life can be hard. But church, everything that happens in our life is not God's fault. And the sooner we recognize that God is for us and not against us. Marty, come up here and play a little something if you would, just in closing. That God is for you and not against you, the sooner we can have our healing. You know, I've been praying the last few weeks especially about what our mission here at Living Word really is. What our mission is. What the purpose is. I don't want to be just a place we come together and I get to, you know, play church on Sunday mornings as a preacher and y'all get to play congregation and we sing a few songs and we go home unchanged. The purpose of the church is that lives are transformed. Lives are truly changed. We got a text from, some of y'all remember this young man, Wally. He used to date Christian back when she was about 16. And he came to church several times, Wally. Grandma, you remember Wally? The Christian used to date Wally, that young man, Wally. He texted Melanie yesterday. He's going to Western Carolina. He graduates this year too. Not sure, but he's at Western Carolina. And he's been gone for several years from here and from the church. But he reminded Melanie, he said, I want you to know, he says, when I got saved at y'all's church down there, y'all gave me a Bible. So I got that Bible with me. I keep it beside my bed here at Western Carolina. That's been probably six years ago. And here's a young 21-year-old man that has the Bible we gave him that he keeps with him. That's the kind of change that I desire to see in people's lives. Not about how popular someone is or how big the church can get. We are here for lives to be changed, transformed by the Holy Spirit. Where we really leave different. Where you really understand that, you know what? You don't have to always put up with what you've always had. That there is peace. That there is deliverance. That there is redemption in the name of Jesus. And that strongholds that have you bound this morning don't always have to have you bound. But they can be released. And they can be destroyed by the touch of God. Because when God shows up, everything changes. I want to make a difference where we are in this community. I want the people around this church to know this is a place of refuge. Not a place of judgment. It's a place where you truly come as you are and tell God what you need. And let God do the work He does. It's a place where I want everyone to feel loved and accepted, no matter the baggage or the past or the background or the look or whatever you've done. That I don't want any criminal record, so to speak, to ever be what guides this ship. It is the grace and the love of the Lord. For every one of us in here have some kind of criminal, so to speak, record in our lives. That if people would see the real us and what we've done, they would hang their heads and say, "Wow, really?" But when God sees us, He says, "Yes," with a smile, "Really? Yes, I want you. I desire you." Bow your heads with me. I want to open the altar this morning with a very specific thing this morning. This wasn't planned at just this moment. I feel the Lord unctioning me to do something a little different this morning. If you need God to show up in a situation in your life that it's not working, you're at a dead end, you're at a crossroads and have no idea what to do next, you just need God to show up. I want to ask you to come up here and stand in front of this altar, and we're going to pray together that God shows up in your situation and that you have the patience to wait until He does show up, and that He will break and move those things out of your life that need to be moved, and that He will bring healing inside and outside, that He will pour into your vessel a new oil, a new wine into that wineskin that will flow out of you into others. If that's you, is there playing, singing if you need to, that's fine. I want you to come to the altar right now. Let's pray together. Whoever that is in here, you want God to show up in your life. You need God to show up in a special, supernatural way.
I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to write upon my heart, to remind me. I know that you are for me. Yes, I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
To remind me, I know that you are for me. Yes, I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me of who you are.
Is there anyone else God is drawing? We're going to pray. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you this morning, you'll know it's the Holy Spirit drawing you. You know it now. Just step out and believe. Step out and believe. As a two blind man says, "Yes, Lord, we believe you can do it. Whatever you need, God can do. God wants to do in your life." The Holy Spirit is drawing you in any way. Just take that step of faith and say, "Yes, Lord, today I want to be made whole. I want to be made whole." Father, for these at this altar right now, as they stand in this sanctuary that's been dedicated to your service and your service only, this is a place not of entertainment. It's not a place of social club. This is your tabernacle, the holy of holies. We stand on the earth as close as we can get to the kingdom, God. This has been dedicated to your service, to your glory. And as we stand in this place, Lord, with our hands before you, with our hearts before you, God, I pray you show up in these lives, that every chain of bondage is loosened by your hand of mercy. that you will sweep across these lives and you will bring healing. You will bring joy. You will bring encouragement. You will bring health. You will bring deliverance to your people that are standing before you. For God, there is nothing impossible with you, and there is nothing bigger than you. And I pray for everyone here that they receive what they came for in the name of Jesus. In the back up, darling. In the name of Jesus. Just pour yourself upon this handmaiden, God. Pour yourself upon her. Let her know she's been called from birth and she will never, ever escape the destiny you've called her to be. Release everything that's holding that destiny back, that it will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill this vessel with new wine. Pour fresh breath upon this vessel. Bring strength to the bones that have been waxing old. Bring strength and let her feet again rejoice in that in which she is called, that she will praise you again with the dance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, bless this daughter of yours, this child of God. And Lord, show up in her life and whatever she needs right now. The battles that are there, you are the one that can cause those battles to cease. You can calm the storm. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace. Be still in this life. In Jesus' name. Pour, Father, yourself upon this, upon Jasmine. Feel her, Jesus, with all that she desires today. As you are passing her way, all she needs is what you have for her. And Lord, when you show up, it all changes. Show up in her life today, this moment, right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Coming down.
Thank you, Jesus.
From the Father.
Hallelujah. Lord, show up in the life of this daughter of yours who serves you faithfully, who loves you, who has served you all these years. Let her wait, God, on the stirring of the water. And then when that stirring comes, God, everything is going to be different. Everything is going to change. And we thank you, Jesus. Let that patience be there to when the water is stirred, that you do it, not her, but that you do it, and everything will be different as you are passing her way, and you will have a time of appointment in her life in Jesus' name.
Wonderful peace.
Thank you, Jesus. Fill Von Steele with peace. God, I know she needs peace. Peace to trust you. Peace to rest. Peace to know that you're in control of all of this. Let her rest in you, Jesus. And let your arms wrap around her and remind her it's going to be all right. Everything's okay because you are there and you're going to show up at the right time to make things right in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for all the brokenness, all the pain. Lord, the devil is trying to hold this daughter back from going forward. It is time you stop looking back and only begin to look forward. It's time you stop beating yourself up for what it's not been and understand what you have now. That God has a plan now. That you're where He wants you now. Enjoy now. Enjoy today. Enjoy tomorrow He has waiting on you. And walk forward. March forward into what God's called you into. For your future is going to be far greater than your past as you learn to let go and just trust me. And know I'm in this, I'm in you, and it's going to be all right. Just trust me and just keep following the path I put you on. It may not look the way you want it to, but it's the path I placed you on. Just trust me. Just trust me. And you'll see the end result that it's what I called you and called you to where to be at. It'll be exactly what your heart's desire is if you will learn to let go of what's not been and embrace what is right now. In Jesus' name. Glory, glory. For this young girl, Lord, pour upon her what she needs today, Jesus. Breathe into her, God. Joy, peace. Peace for the future. Joy for the moment. And pass her way and show up in her life. Get her through this next season, God, by your grace and by your glory. In the name of Jesus. Let your hand never forsake her. Your hand never leave her. Let your hand be on her all of her days. No matter what happens, no matter what comes her way, no matter the trap the enemy sets, God, this is your child. She belongs to you, and all the gates of hell will not prevail against her. In Jesus' name.
In boundless billows of love.
Glory to God.
Peace.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father.
Coming down.
Just bask in the presence of my glory, Son. Just bask in my presence. As my presence overshadowing all that's there. And setting free what's been captive. Jesus' name.
Forever I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Peace, peace, wonder.
Y'all stand up, sing if you know it.
Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Father, we pray for Kayla right
coming
now.
Coming down
this season, another attack from the enemy.
The
God, you heal the blind eyes.
Above.
You raise the dead. You calm the storm. God, you can surely
sweep
stop these seizures. We pray for your healing hand to touch Kayla. And for those seizures to be gone forever, to make her whole, that that's never an issue again, God. Pass her away and show up on her behalf in the name of Jesus. Every seizure has to bow its knee to the name of our Lord in Jesus' name.
Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above.
Let's just worship in closing, church. We thank you, Father. Praise you for your presence in this place. For your glory that's filled this sanctuary. For a God that never fails to deliver in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Y'all can be seated. Ushers, you can come.